All right. Welcome to the Todcast.
Greetings, everyone.
We're back, sort of.
And we have the combination. Oh, sorry. Spaceballs flashback there.
It's all right. Who puts that combination in their luggage? Change my luggage combination. So, yeah, it's been only 2 weeks this time, which is nice. You know, since the last one, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, we're getting less bad at doing these.
I'm really trying. It's mostly my fault because I'm just so busy and I always leave the podcast stuff here.
I blame you. Yes.
And then I could do them from other stores, but I always keep the stuff here and I never take it home because I'm dumb. But we probably won't have another one until after, at least after the 4th of July. Probably not till. We might have one, but around the 4th of July. Yeah. Right before, right after. That's what I'm saying the next one's going to be. Anyway. Okay. All right. So, in the last 2 weeks, we had the signing for Captain Canuck, Rich Cromney.
Mm-hmm. Who Cranberry,
came,
you said?
Yeah, he came to Cranberry. So, he didn't realize there were two Cranberry, Pennsylvanias. He kind of went to the wrong one, the one up by Oil City. Yeah, it's like a good 2 hours out of the way.
Ooh,
so he completely missed the signing. He called me up. He was really cool about it. He's like, "Oh, I'm really, really sorry about that." You know, like I was like, "It's cool, man. Like, just you know, if you could leave some stuff for the guys who asked for you, that's awesome." And he's like, "Yeah, totally cool."
Okay, so he left the boot in there.
Yeah,
you thought everyone would notice? I know.
Yeah, he's from Ontario. So he left like 3 or 4 packets of just signed crap for stuff, like people, not crap, but you know what I mean.
Way to sell it,
signed stuff. Like, there were like 4 or 5 issues in there, like a sketch issue, like keychains, everything, like tons of cool stuff because he felt terrible. I would have felt terrible too, but
right.
And there were a couple guys that asked, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we bought some signed stuff from him. All of those are now in the stores. So if you're looking to get Captain Canuck number 1, Captain Canuck 0, or number 2, or the awesome Canada Day, Boxing Day, or no, it's Canada Day issue, it's totally in the totally in every store right now. You can get them. Most of them are cover price at $3.99.
Awesome.
And most of them are signed. So there you go.
That's pretty cool.
Other than that, the only other big nerd news that I know of is the announcement of Spider-Man.
Yes, they
casting
picked him.
Spider-Man.
Was it? What's his name? Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Yeah. He is 5'8", for those keeping track. So he's a little shorter than Andrew Garfield, who's like 6'3".
Right.
But he kind of looks like a nerdy kid. Like,
yeah, I think. I mean, he skews and looks younger. So they're really going for like an early to mid high school, as opposed to like graduating Peter Parker.
Right.
When the last couple of movies, but
my only concern is, how is he and Jessica Jones supposed to be the same age? Because like in most continuities, they are, because they went to high school together.
Right.
Unless she's like a senior and he's a freshman, in which case there's that. Or Peter was just really advanced and was in high school when he was like 12.
That could work because he's a genius.
He is. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not super excited about it. I'm just like, man, another Spider-Man.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, and him being my favorite hero, it's sad that I'm at that stage. But like, I've read a few trades recently,
right?
Of the more recent stuff, not super recent, but like I read finally Spider Island and Big Time, which is still years ago, but
right.
It was after the whole Brand New Day debacle of getting rid of Mary Jane and his history, and the one thing that I liked about both of them, like Big Time I liked and I kept it. Spider Island I read and just traded it in already. But both of them really did a great job of admitting and focusing on the fact, or just bringing more light to the fact that he is a genius.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, he's not quite at Stark and Reed Richards level, but he's right under them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like a lot of writers ignore that. They just go for the quips and the spider abilities. But I loved in some of those issues where he saved the day by being smart. And there was a couple, I think it was Big Time, where they did a great job where he saved the day. And the whole thing was orchestrated by Dr. Octopus. And like you see him talking to Mysterio and it's like, oh, just shut the giant robots down. Don't worry. There's a way to stop them. Like he turns all the giant robots into bombs. Like he activates it. And he's like, there's a way. you know, Parker will figure it out, right, you know, and and Reed Richards and all of the Avengers and the Fantastic Four are there, and they're like arguing back and forth, like, well, if we try, there's not enough time to get them all into space or none. And Peter figures it out and like shoves them out of the way. He's like, no, I can do this. There's no time for clowning around. And he's right. like, and he does it. And it's just like, I loved that aspect. But otherwise, you know,
I love the part in Spider Island where, everyone has spider powers except for Mary Jane, and they have to explain that she's had too much
contact,
quote unquote. And Reed Richards is trying to say it, and
you
like
kind of built up an immunity,
the nicest way possible. She's like, "What are you talking about, contact?" It's like, "Well, you kind of build up an immunity," and she's like, "What are you talking about?" And then she's like, "Oh."
I thought it kind of weird how like. How into her the thing was during that whole thing. Like, he's like, oh, your hot ex-girlfriend, the supermodel? What's her number? You know, right. It's like, and he's like, shut up, Ben.
So, real quick, before we go into comics, or before we go into events, one more nerd news thing that I thought was kind of cool, because I saw a lot of backlash, and I thought it was kind of cool. So, they're starting to film the new Ghostbusters movie.
Okay.
And there's a scene, there's a picture of two of them, like, walking on set, and one looks like she would be, like, the Egon-style character, where it's, like, it's like every stereotypical, like, 80s mad scientist trope in one outfit. It's, like, really, really crazy. And I watched probably 35 to 50 of my friends who are into Ghostbusters. Not necessarily guys who are part of, like, the Steel City Ghostbusters, but... just dudes who really like that movie and are our age who totally ripped it apart. They were like, this is crap. Like, they should be ashamed of themselves for doing this. Like, this is dumb. Like, like, I don't know. I don't want to watch it now if they're going to do it like that, because that's just stupid. Like, if you're going to, like, really amp up the 80s, like, no one cares. Like, it's not – you're just basically going to make fun of the idea now. And it's, and they're really mad. So
– well, but – there's no context, and like, and I agree.
Right, and I agree on that end.
You can do stuff. I mean, I'm sure I've done it too. But what if they're on their way to a costume party, like it's part of a like it's an in joke. Like, this isn't
or
her.
Maybe
her
they're
look,
like
or,
coming back from shooting a commercial because they're trying to do this thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So like, it's very interesting. But like, to see that backlash already, I was like, holy cow! Like, I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna probably wait till the trailer comes out.
Yeah.
And we'll see from there. Because if the trailer looks like crap, I'm not going to see this thing.
Right. So yeah, I mean, Ghostbusters is one of my top, easily top five favorite movies. So, I mean, but I haven't seen this picture. I'll have to look it up. See
it's
about
it's
it.
Interesting. Oh, and Jurassic World came out. Sorry, that came out too.
Yeah, that's huge. Huge news.
I haven't seen it yet. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
You said it was all right.
It was
all right.
I mean, I'm not a huge Jurassic Park fan.
That's what I'm hearing from a lot of my friends. It's like, it's better than 3, but not better than the originals. And I'm like, well, that's good.
Yeah, it's really just Jurassic Park 1.5. I mean, it's kind of retelling the same story, only in continuity. It's like, it is... Well, they've said that, or they've implied that like 2 and 3 don't count. Like, this is the actual sequel to Jurassic Park.
Oh.
It's, you know, it's supposed to take place like 8 or 9 years after the park fiasco, and that it's enough distance that people kind of forgot, and they made the world, Jurassic World, and they made it work, and now, like, it's this big famous thing, and everyone loves it. It's like Disney World.
Right.
And that's then, so it's been functioning for quite a few years as a proper park that's working and stuff. But it had its moments, you know. Chris Pratt did a great job, you know.
Was it like Guardians of the Galaxy with dinosaurs?
No, he wasn't as funny. He had some good, like, he had a couple funny things, but his character was a little more serious.
Then that makes me excited. I kind of want to see it now.
Yeah, so. But like, I'm still upset that it's crushing all of, like, Avengers Age of Ultron numbers, and I'm like, damn it!
Right. Jurassic World, who would have thought that, right?
Yeah, like, I know it has a following, but I didn't expect it to just blow up like that.
I know, me too. So, all right, so some cool stuff coming up. July 11th and 12th, Magic Origins pre-release.
Excited for that, yes.
Check your local NDC for times and dates, because not every store is doing the Sunday stuff. I think Cranberry's doing a midnight Friday night.
Ooh.
So if you're doing that, go have some fun. Everybody's doing some really great stuff. We have giveaways. It's just going to be a blast.
Yeah, I'm going to participate in my first one this year, or this time, and so it's like, you know, I'll be working the first half of Saturday, and I'll be doing the 6 o'clock Saturday
and
one.
And this is the first time I will not be in an NDC for a pre-release in, like, 7 or 8 years, because I'll be in New Orleans with 800 by Fraternity Brothers hanging out.
Nice.
Also, Saturday, July 11th is Too Cool for Comic-Con Day. So, we have at...
We finally have some cool stuff.
Oh my
to
god!
Right, yeah.
We actually have some. We have some people. Hold on, let me. Forgot to pull that up. Actually, I have some of it over here because there's people added to this. I just haven't gotten to put them up on the website yet. All right, so Cranberry. First, let me tell you, there are cool freebie comics.
Mm-hmm.
We are stuffing bags as. Like, this is the break from stuffing
bags.
Yes,
I've been doing it all day.
Yeah, and I was working on some today. Joe was helping out. We're almost done. We have approximately 500 bags going out amongst four of the five stores. It's going to be dumb huge. So the first, like, around 100 people to come through all the doors and all the stores are going to get some free stuff on us. Also, on like, the free stuff's also from IDW, Valiant, Xenoscope. We have some Marvel stuff in there, some DC stuff in there. Every bag's a little different, so check it out. Valiant and IDW and Xenoscope mm-hmm. really, really helped us out. They were just like, yeah. Here's a ton of stuff. Awesome.
We're
and I'm
supporting
just like,
you.
I'm like, hell yeah. You yeah. guys are awesome. Like, you know, like, it's really cool to see publishers come out and do that. So if you wear a cape
of
any
kind, yes.
any kind. So if you want to staple a paper towel to your shoulders, that's
that sounds
really
painful, but
it's
sure.
It's very painful, yeah. but you know what? It's cool. It's a, yeah. it's a cape. 10% off all day. If you want to bring a towel and wear it, that's cape. 10%.
You have to have that cape has to stay on you while you're in the store.
It's true.
Now walk in the door saying, hey, I got a cape, and throwing it away. You gotta
right, right,
wear
right.
it.
You got to wear it the whole time. If you want to come in full-on cosplay.
Even better.
Totally cool. We'll do that too. I'll totally give you 10% off of that all day. Then, on top of that, we have awesome guests in each store. Cranberry Township is going to have George Broderick Jr., who has done like Woody Woodpecker, Mighty Mouse, Popeye, Bozo the Clown, Santa Claus Adventures, some Speed Racer. He's done a lot of cool stuff. He's local. He's from around Cranberry. I got to hang out with him and his wife a couple times. Like, they came out for the Cranberry cookout, and he subs his books in Cranberry, man. Like, he's
sweet.
He's
yeah.
there like every week. He's a great dude. And also Jack Vassery, who just had some art put on one of the T-Fizz t-shirts.
Oh, cool.
It's a Star-Lord, mm-hmm. but instead of it being the tape deck, it's an iPod. And like, the T-Fizz guys are going to be here at the Mills mm-hmm. that day. Okay. So you can buy that shirt at the Mills that day from the T-Fizz guys, nice. As long as they bring it, which they should. Dan Gorman.
And then you could drive out to Cranberry, hit the turnpike, and get
yeah,
it signed by the
exactly.
artist.
Exactly. There you go. And wear it and show support for Jack, because he's yep. a good dude. Butler's going to have Dan Gorman. Dan is out of Kent, Ohio. He's done a lot of cool, like, sketch card stuff. He mostly does sketch cards, but he does a lot of really great ones. He's, like, he works with some of the official publishers for, like, Cryptozoic. He did, like, AMC's Walking Dead ones.
Wow.
He did Femme Force for AC Comics. A lot of cool stuff. He's a really cool dude. Like, great guy. Good to hang out with. Dan Gorman, Butler. Century 3 is going to have Nate Batchelor, who's a local guy. When his hair was longer, he would cosplay as Doctor Who. but since then, his hair has gotten a lot shorter, and he likes to draw stuff. He's a really cool dude, really talented kid. Not really a kid. He's like late teens.
Okay.
But he's a really cool dude. And somebody else is coming to C3 that I just got an email from today to confirm. Give me 1 second to find it. And maybe. Sorry. I should have been more prepared.
You should have.
I'm so sorry.
But the point is, it's like any need, you know, we're going to
Eric
obviously
Watson.
We'll keep. Oh, there we go.
Eric Watson will be at he'll be at C3. Where did his thing go? I just saw it. It's going to tell you. All right, here we go. Eric's done. Oh, that's cool. He's done like Living Tricon, Grocery Assassins, Man in the Kitty Coat. He Also founded Broken Icon Comics with James Maddox, not Madrix, Maddox. And he's doing Cowboy Gauntlet, Pete and Iron and Stone. And they'll be actually debuting at the NDC at C3 for that. It's going to be big.
Wow.
It's going to have like some cool, awesome like variant covers just for us there.
Sweet.
He's a real cool dude. I've met him a couple times. At the Mills, Mills is actually pretty loaded. So
of course we are.
Like everybody just likes to come here. I don't know. Todd Allen Smith is coming. Todd is out of the Altoona area. He is the official Star Wars trading cards art guy.
Wow.
So if you ever get an art card in those packets, that's what he does. He does all kinds of Star Wars art. He does some really awesome art in general, though. I know that when we were at the Sci-Fi in the Valley Con, Hunter and I got to hang out with him a lot. He was really cool, and Hunter bought like a couple of his sketches. So definitely check that out. We also have Vito Del Sante from Action Lab.
Yep.
He was actually just here this morning. Mm-hmm. His wife had a baby this morning. he and his wife had a son this morning, so congratulations to him.
Yes, congratulations.
Big sister Sadie was crying and just wanted some Starbursts. It was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely looked very proud today. It was good times. The Tifa's guys are going to be here. They're the guys selling Jack's T-shirt. They're out of Youngstown. I've bought shirts from these guys. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. My Braille Devil shirt I got from them.
That was a good shirt. I like that.
I also got this cool Zelda one that's like Star Wars, and it's like Hyrulean Wars, and it looks like the New Hope cover.
Oh, okay.
Jude Gallagher, who's another local artist, is going to be here. So I think Mills is kind of maxed out. I don't think we're going to take anybody there. Oh, and I think Ernie Steiner is going to C3. I haven't confirmed that, but I'm pretty positive Ernie Steiner will be at C3.
Okay.
So C3 is almost full. We're aiming for four there and at the Mills. Anyway, it's going to be big. It's going to be fun. It's going to be huge. There's going to be other sales going on too. So if you want to like come out and check it out and see what's going on, do it, because it's during San Diego Comic-Con. And we do that because we're trying to give everybody a different view on what they could, like what they could be missing, without having to go out to Comic-Con, because that's really expensive.
It is.
So let's celebrate nerd culture without doing that. Let's just have a party in the store, and that's pretty much how it ended up happening.
And it's a nice way to do it, because like, you know, I've been to San Diego Comic Con a few times and it was fantastic and I'd love to go back, but as you say, it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
And
it's not really comics anymore either. It's all like pop culture.
Yeah, but I actually do kind of skew a little more towards
that.
I know
you do.
But it's, you know, but also it's just the fact that it's fun to do that, because it's like, well, it's so hard to get into it, just to get tickets, because of the way they've changed over the last like 5 years and the expense. This is a nice way, I think, locally, to be like, hey, look, we all of us super nerds, we want to go there.
Right.
It's like a, you know, it's a destination for us. But
right.
Things happen. We can't all make it. Let's make our own. Let's have some fun. And you know, it's like you said, not at Comic-Con. And it's just a fun little idea.
Right. July 25th is Elwood's anniversary sale. So all kinds of cool things on sale. T-shirts, toys. They don't have back issues, so their dollar books are going to be half off. Lots of other cool stuff. It's gonna be great.
Awesome.
Like, you know. And then in September we have Free Graphic Novel Day and the Labor Day Cookout, and then we hit Wizard World Pittsburgh in mid-September, and then Baltimore Comic Con in late September, which we will actually be vending at. And I'm pretty excited because Scott Snyder just got announced as a guest at Baltimore yesterday.
Awesome.
So I'm super pumped. So. All right, now let's talk some comic books. All right, Dr. Fate is my first book. It's a new DC number one. Anyway, but Paul Levitz, he was the guy doing all of the the World's Finest and Earth 2 stuff. And this is pretty cool because it actually takes place on our Earth Prime. And it's Khalid, the same guy that was in the other Earth 2 version. But in this one, like, his cat is actually, like, an old Egyptian god. And, like, the helmet is trying to tell him he needs to do stuff. And he's, like, texting his girlfriend. And he's like, did you slip me acid? Like, what the hell is going on? And she's like, no, maybe you're just stressed out from work. And he's like, no, whatever. So, you know, like, some things happen and you start seeing this jackal walk around who is the bad god that's trying to come and get him. And then all of a sudden the cat's like, no, you really need to listen to your fate. And he, like, opens a door in the wall and he's like, no one's going to believe this. So he tries to take a picture with his camera and the camera doesn't even believe him. Like, the camera still sees a wall. That's and the cat's funny. Like, yeah, that's because it's me. And so he goes in. Eventually he puts the helmet on and then all of a sudden, like, all kinds of craziness happens. It's pretty crazy. I enjoyed the book. Pretty fun. I like Paul Levitz. The art in it's a little different than what I'm used to, but I really enjoy it. And I'm actually going to go switch this book for a different one while you talk about that one because I had a better thought.
Okay. So I will be discussing... I was lucky enough to get a bunch of number ones this time, so no jumping in middle of arcs and stuff. This is Casey and April, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, first disappointment, but it's not a disappointment because you know, you figure it out when you look at it. It's not the Turtles. They're not actually in this book. I'm not sure how long it's not a mini because it doesn't say out of, you know, one of four or anything like that. So it's probably an ongoing, but it's just following Casey and April as they try and track down, who was it? Like some sort of, track down evidence of warring immortal creatures who disappeared ages ago. That was Casey asking, you know, April, like, are you really think we can do this? So it wasn't bad. It, the artwork is interesting. It's, who does the artwork on this? And of course, I can't figure it out. But regardless, obviously they're mentioning the turtles and they're like, wow, you really think this is going to work with us just being by ourselves? You know, and it's kind of, I don't want to call it like a character piece per se, but it's just them going across country and you know, Casey getting into a fight with some hillbilly in the middle of nowhere, and then they smack into some guy's truck, but luckily he's not like a jerk about it, but they have to split up. You know, Casey has to go investigate this bunker that she's kind of found that she thinks might be something to look into. It doesn't matter. We were going fine without you.
Sorry.
And then she goes off to the guy who they wrecked into, talk to his sister to tell him, you know, find out if she's okay. It's just weird. And I don't even know how to, there's not really, no action happens other than that brief fight that you don't even really see. You just see like the ending of it, like a couple punches thrown. Like I said, it's not bad. The writing's not is decent, but it's really, you really have to like Casey and April, and this does branch off of the direct Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles line, so they reference what had just happened, you know, and why they're out on their own. So if you're a big fan of the characters, I think this looks like it's going to shape up to be a really interesting evolution for them as characters, Casey and April. And, you know, their relationship together and you know, I'm sure they're going to get, like, become better and a little stronger on their own as they fight their own battles, but...
Better, stronger, faster.
Exactly. But, obviously, it's not... The Turtles aren't even in it, so don't expect any kind of... I'm sure there'll be cameos at some point, but...
Right.
Yeah, so, not bad. Interesting.
Cool. All right. My next book is Black Canary. And, so I switched out Martian Manhunter number one for Black Canary number one because I wanted to do a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to do a bad one. This is a bad one.
Really?
Like, I was super excited when I first heard about this book because I was like, I liked the direction that they took her in Batgirl. And I liked this artist when she did Hawkeye. Like, she was the filler Hawkeye. Like, she was the one doing the what's it called?
Come on, use your words.
Kate Hawkeye stuff. Like, okay. Where it was the just Kate Bishop stuff. Sorry. It's been a long day. But, like, the story was okay. It was meh. And, like, it just... But, like, it wasn't great. And the art, I don't think, fit very well at all. Like, it didn't really... do it for me, and it just was kind of poop. Okay. I was really kind of sad. Like, it wasn't very actiony. It didn't make me think I was reading a book about Black Canary. It made me think I was reading like a book about some like hipster band that just had issues, and I was just like, meh.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, so, not very superhero-esque.
Nope. But that's pretty much it.
Okay. Then I shall move on to my next one. I chose Runaways number one from the Secret Wars events that are going on with Marvel. The Secret Wars events for me in general have been hit or miss, a little skewing towards a miss, just because it really wasn't what I was expecting going in. And I don't know, because like the whole relaunch of everything, oh, here's Planet Hulk, and here's Old Man Logan, and here's all these things, and I thought... that it was going to be Secret Wars was an event, and then these were, and it would reboot the universe, and then the Secret Wars tie-ins would all be reimaginings of those original events, so they would function similar to how we knew them, but we get to see like different choices and different ramifications. Well, that's not really how any of this is. They're either just continuations of original stories, like Old Man Logan is like the continuation of the original Old Man Logan, or they're just on this whole battle world, so everything's all screwed up and people are different and it's weird. Runaways is not really like the Runaways you know. And it's why I chose it, because I'm like, well, I did love the Runaways. I only read the second volume. I'm looking forward to getting the first one, which I hear is better, but I thought the second one was fantastic. So it's basically like Doom School for the Gifted as opposed to, you know, Charles Xavier. And what they do is it's like... every year you have this massive final to decide whether or not you move on to the next year. Mm-hmm. And then if you graduate with the real final, that gets you into like the Doom troops or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Like you're good enough to be these special mutant like enforcers or whatever.
But not Thor's.
Yeah.
Can't be a Thor.
Right.
But so, I also read this and I thought it was cool that Cloak and Dagger got switched. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
But other than that, like I didn't really care for the book at all. Molly was cool, but Molly's always cool.
Yeah, Molly. Yeah, that's like, she's kind of like the only one that's actually from the Runaways, really.
Yeah, and I thought it was also cool that Scar was in there.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
So it's like, it's a lot of people, like Jubilee's in it, and right. Pixie's in it, and a bunch of names, you know, you might recognize along with those.
Oh,
like
and they're
Scar.
In like a gang. It's kind of cool.
Well, the funny thing about the gang... is it's really, I think the writer was making a joke to Greece.
I agree.
They're like they call themselves what the Night Witches.
Yeah.
And they're basically like the Pink Ladies.
Yeah.
You know, and they have matching jackets, and they even get made fun of that. It's like, oh, like the brainy kid who doesn't have any real powers, but he's just super smart, is like, oh, hey, Jubilee, you know.
You mean Amadeus Cho?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know, I forgot you're in a gang. Like, you know, that's actually a real thing that wasn't just in a movie you saw one time. You know,
you know, he was like companion to Hercules for like a long time. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's actually really cool. And his mom and he actually appeared in Avengers 2.
Did they?
Yeah. His mom was the one who made the cocoon thingy.
Oh, that was okay. That's
Dr. Cho. And then you see him like where she's like, oh, Amadeus is over here. And then it's like, what?
No, I didn't see that part. I don't remember that.
She's talking about her kid. Anyway, sorry.
But, yeah. So, I mean, it was okay. It really wasn't anything.
Oh, the last page is my favorite part.
Yeah, we won't spoil it. But
it's pretty good.
Funny. Yeah. It was okay. I was hoping that it was going to be like the other, like similar at least to the other Runaways, and it really wasn't.
Right.
But the writing was funny. The writing was quick, so that was strong. The artwork was decent. Not a favorite, but not horrible.
Right.
So, if you're a fan of the whole Secret Wars in general, I think you should pick it up. I think it's good. If you're a real big fan of Runaways, I wouldn't necessarily go into it expecting it to be anything like Runaways yet. I mean, this is issue one. They haven't even gotten to the point where, you know, they're going to run away. You know, on the run is what, you know, but it was decent.
That's cool. I thought it was okay. Like, it wasn't great, but it wasn't my Runaways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was okay.
Yeah.
So. All right. My next book is Archie versus Predator 3, happily titled AVP.
Still cannot understand how these things are being made.
Oh my god, this is ridiculously funny. So at this point, most of Riverdale is like in shambles, and they're kind of like hiding out in the high school, and they've like booby-trapped the high school.
Home Jughead, Alone the hell yeah. out of it, yeah.
Yeah, and great. Like Jughead tries to come in, and they almost like kill him with a bat and a sword and some other things. So then like you see that the Spellman's house is completely gone, and all that's left are goats. Because in the second issue, like all the police, like got like they taken away to like okay. another plane, and the house did too. So then you realize that the Predator is in the high school with them. They go to the
it's
audio
in
visual
the school
room
with you.
They go to the audio visual room, and Dilton's like, no, it's audio visual, not audio visual power, AVP.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and well, they made Predator 2 jokes in the second issue, so this
okay.
makes sense.
Okay.
So like Jughead uses the cursed knife to get candy out of the candy machine while they're trying to get to the AV room, and the Predator ends up like completely killing him and like leaving his head in the candy machine, and
jeez,
it is like the coolest that? Thing. Like, how perfect of a way did Jughead just die besides in a big pile of food?
Why is Jughead always the first to go?
He's not. He was like the sixth one to die in
still,
this.
He was the catalyst for Afterlife with Archie.
Right. So so then like the brainy kid is like, all right, well, I have this really cool thing in here and we should be able to use this to fight. And it's a giant mech suit that's Archie.
Okay.
And he climbs in this thing. He's like, why does it look like Archie? And he's like, because he gets everything. He gets all the girls, and he gets everything he wants. And, like, he gets you too, Veronica, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, so he gets in this thing, and it starts short-circuiting and starts, like, going completely ballistic. And they kind of, like, get a little bit on the Predator. The Predator, like, stabs Archie, like, in the shin, or I'm sorry, in the shoulder. It's just all kinds of crazy, and then it ends with like the nerdy kid dying, and it's just Archie and the two girls, and they're all just like, oh no, and like the next cover makes them look like they're in like Sheena. It was pretty awesome. I really enjoy this book because I think it's just funny that they do these kind of things.
Just insane.
Like Kiss Meets Archie was awesome. Predator and Punisher and Archie, I think, was one. Mm-hmm. Like, it was great. It's fun. I like it.
So. I don't know, man. It just bugs the heck out of me. All of them. Just like, cool. Why? It just makes no sense. I don't get it. Like, it's Archie. Who the heck cares? He hasn't been relevant since the 1940s.
Right.
But I guess that's kind of why they're doing it then. It's like, oh, right. Look how craziness we're doing.
Yeah, but they're bringing him back. Like, the new Mark Waid series comes out soon, and it's going to be, like, a new updated Archie. It looks awesome. So.
Meh. All right, so my final book that I read is I saved the best for last. I really like this one. So it's the IDW Ghostbusters Get Real. And I've only recently started taking notice of the Ghostbusters comic book. I definitely want to get the trade of the Ghostbusters Meet the Turtles because I flipped through it and that looks pretty awesome. And a lot of the other trades and stuff from the past, just the Ghostbusters comics, just from what I've seen, really has a good like connection to the movie and it's fun. So this one is just kind of like a cornucopia of awesome for fans because it's
right.
The real Ghostbusters cartoon meeting the real Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's just like the Turtles team up. It's like there's another dimensional hop, and the real Ghostbusters
awesome.
Get sent into normal New York and meet their live, their counterparts.
Their live
yeah,
action.
Yeah, their live action, the, yeah. you know, comic book versions.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just what you think it would be. It's funny because it's all about this god. Trying to find his name. Shoot. I have to wait to like get a section where he's talking to somebody else. He's basically, even though he's like supposedly a god, he's essentially scared of the Ghostbusters. He doesn't want to get caught by them, so he's taking the offensive, and he's like, well, I'm going to destroy them before they destroy me.
Now, is he out of the cartoon universe or the non-cartoon?
Yes, he's from the cartoon universe. And that's the beauty part, is the artwork is split. So
yeah,
it's like
that's what I noticed, and that's why I was like, what?
Yeah, so like this god character is drawn in the animation style along with the Ghostbusters, and they, regardless of what universe they're in, they look like the cartoon.
Right.
And the other guys look like they're the standard Ghostbuster comic book art. So, you know, they're fighting this guy, he takes over like a statue in New York. And this woman that they had just saved, who I guess is like used to be a witch or whatever, she tries to cast a spell, just a protection spell, because she vowed off of doing spells or whatever.
Right.
And she tries to cast a protection on them, but the bad guy was casting a spell at the same time, and that's what wonks it.
Okay.
And it was like a teleportation spell, and it sends them to the other dimension. So they run, they go straight to, it teleports them to the firehouse of the comic book Ghostbusters. So they walk in thinking, you know, nothing's different, and they're like, why is everything in the wrong spot and all this stuff? And then, you know, the other Ghostbusters walk in. And a nice thing is, it's not some ridiculous comic book gotta fight each other.
Right.
They stand there for a couple seconds and they're like, what's going on? Who are you imposters? And
like,
it's like, no,
this?
And they right. explain, dude, we're dimension hot. Like, as soon, like, you turn the panel, like, take a couple pages of this god who summons, I can find her name, like Ananke or something, as a basically a fortune seer guy as well. And
yeah.
he's like trying to find out, where are the Ghostbusters? Where did I send them? I want to get them. And she's like not cooperating. So it's a few pages of that. And then when you cut back, they're all just talking. They're like, okay, so you're saying you've done this dimension hopping before. It's like, oh, yeah, well,
right.
you know. And the comic book one's like, yeah, we were stuck in limbo for a while. And then that's our little green friends and the ninja masks, you know.
Oh, that's even better.
Right. And then it's like, apparently the turtles at the end of theirs built like a dimensional gateway, and that's how they got home. So they're like showing them, and they're like, yeah, you know, our friends use this to get back. I think we can do the same for you, but it's going to take some running some tests.
Right.
And in both universes, because this god has been messing around, it's like sort of like the original Ghostbusters movie, where it's like, because this god is affecting things, it's drawing and raising havoc with the supernatural world. So there's an uptick in ghost activity.
Right.
So they're getting run ragged. And so like Janine comes in, and she's like, hey, since this is like the third or fourth time we've had dimension hoppers, I figure it's time they can put some bills. You know, one of you guys got to go do this call. So like, they're going to be like teaming up.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and I'm not sure if they're going to be, I'm sure they probably are actually going to split.
Yeah.
So you'll have different members of each team on them going out. And
or like both Rays and like both Venkmans.
Right. So
that'd be just funny.
Yeah. And the two Venkmans, you know, they're not trying to outdo each other yet, but they're both quipping, and it's funny, and it's really well written. The artwork, like I said, is fun because it bounces between, like, in the same panel, you've got both art styles.
Right.
And I'm really excited to see how this one goes. I enjoyed it a lot.
Cool. All right, so we got a lot of stuff that came out this week. Adventure Time 41, Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies number 1, Annihilator 6, Ant-Man Larger Than Life 0, Aquaman 41, Batgirl 41, Batman 66 24, Black Widow 19, Captain Midnight 24, excuse me, Daredevil 16, Darth Vader number 2 reprints, Darth Vader number 3 and 4 reprints, Don Vampirella number 4, Deathstroke 4, Deep State 7, Doctor Who 10th Doctor 12, Doctor Who 12th Doctor 12, Donald Duck number 2, E is for Extinction number 1, who is actually written by Chris Burnham from Cranberry. So make sure you check
really?
That out.
Really? Wow, that's awesome.
He didn't do the art, but the guy who did the art does a very similar style. So I'm very curious to read it. Ryan said he read it this morning, and it was really good, and I'm kind of excited.
Awesome.
Empire Rising number 3, Evil Dead Beyond Dead and Dawn, or Dead by Dawn, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. Beyond Dead by Dawn, number 1, on Space Goat Comics.
Yes, this is the true sequel movie, right?
Isn't yeah.
Isn't that how they're billing it? Like, this is
yeah, this is the true sequel to it, yeah. Fight Club 2, number 2, Flash 41, G.I. Joe Real American Hero 215, Gotham by Midnight, number 6, Grayson 9, Green Lantern Lost Army 1, Halo Escalation 19, Harold Lovecraft and Tesla 4, Howard the Duck 4, I Play the Bad Guy 5, Ice Bayou Blackout 2, Infinity Gauntlet 2, Injustice God Among Us Year 4, Number 4, Gem and the Holograms 4, which I'm excited about, Jungle Girl Season 3, 3, Justice League 3001 Number 1, Captura Number 3, Korvac Saga Number 1, Legendary Green Hornet Number 5, Legendary Red Sonja Number 5, Loki Agent of Asgard 15, Previews, MODOK Assassin 2, Mulan Revelation 1, Ninjak Number 4, Orphan Black 4, Pastaways 4, Penny Dora Number 5, Planet Hulk 2, Some Sweet Pop Dudes, see, Psycho Bonkers 2, Punisher 19, Resident Alien, Sam Hain Mystery Number 2, Scarlet Culture 3, Shadow 100, Shield 7, Skylanders 10, Sonic Universe 77, Southern Cross 4, Spawn 253, Spider-Gwen reprints, yay! Star Wars reprints, yay! Superman 41, Surface Tension 2, Teen Titans 9, Tithe 3, TMNT New Adventure or New Animated Adventures 24, Tomb Raider 17, Transformers More Than Meets the Eye 41, Transformers Wing Bling Combiners 4, UFOlogy 3, Uncanny Avengers 5, Uncle Grandpa Pizza Steve Special Number 1, Venture Number 1, which actually looks kind of cool. It's on Action Lab. We Are Robin. We Are Riverdale. I mean, We Are Robin. Number 1. They all look like they're wearing Riverdale jackets.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Where Monsters Dwell 2, and then X-Men 92 Number 1, which I know you're probably pretty pumped about.
Yes, I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about most of the cool stuff.
I think we did.
While we were talking, I totally got confirmation from Ernie Steiner, by the way.
Awesome.
I was like, yeah, Ernie Steiner. He's all excited about coming to C3. So
sweet.
I don't think he's been there for a while, so it'll be good. He's done like Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, wow. Nice.
He was one of the guys that followed Steranko on it. He's a great dude. His art is awesome. He did this really great cover for Ken once that was... it was a sketch cover, and it was Thanos, and Rocket Raccoon was, like, stuck in his pants, and he kept trying to, like smack him out of his pants. It was hilarious.
Okay.
So, yeah, but other than that, like, you know, we're just doing our things, I guess, and everybody make sure you come out to your local NDC and get some cool stuff on the 11th. It's going to be a huge weekend. Also, that's also Anthrocon weekend.
Oh, okay.
So, if you... are a furry and want to wear a cape, totally come on in.
Sure, why
be
not?
Be like some kind of super raccoon. If you want to dress like Rocket Raccoon and come in and hang out, that's cool too.
That would be awesome, like, yes.
You know, like, that's awesome. Like, we think it's really cool. So, but, wow, it's starting to get loud in here. We got D&D ready to fire. We got Pathfinder getting ready, and we also have Ladies Night getting ready.
Yeah, we're a popular stop here at the Mills, jeez, man. Just come on out and say hey.
It's true.
Check out, I mean, every day, every night, there's something going on in the game room, so you always can come out, and a lot of the groups are always open to new players, too.
Always.
They'll either, if they're really in the middle of something, they'll be like, okay, come back in like 2 weeks, and when we finish, and we can add your character, or they'll just add your character and find
you
a way
in
to,
anyway.
Yeah, find a way. And there's always some sort of like fun. People playing Magic, or, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
That's actually the only thing that isn't here yet is the modern guys, but I guess they don't normally come till closer to 7.
Yeah, they always come a little closer to the actual time. It's fires. So,
but it's gonna be a good time, and you know, everybody's doing well. And
yeah, and come out on like starting July 1st. You can reserve for pre-release for Magic Origins. You can come and reserve a box. I know I'm gonna be getting one. You know, it's a big deal. It's the last core set that they're making until after that they change the format, the way
they bring flip cards back with
flip cards. I'm looking forward to that. I never experienced them before.
They're interesting, especially in limited, like in drafting, because it's like, how do you draft a flip card without seeing what it is?
Right.
So it's like very, very interesting. But anyway, yeah, definitely July 1st. All that stuff happens. You can do. You can pre-register. You can pre-order your box.
Yep.
Also, don't forget, at the Mills at least, their pre-release events. Every single event, we're going to raffle off a Modern Masters box.
Oh, that is awesome.
But you have to play all the rounds.
Okay, so you have to be good.
And you can't drop. Like, okay. If you drop, you don't get to be part of the drawing.
The final raffle, yeah, okay.
The final raffle will happen at the end of each event.
That's sweet. So that's
three.
That's a $250 value right there, people. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, $30 sign-in to play in pre-release, and you could be walking out. Even if you don't win, you could be walking out.
Yeah, you could be like with, last you know, place and get something super sweet.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So, Brian,
I could be in last place.
You, and yes, going into your first one, not knowing what you're doing.
Right. I will be in last
place. You will be in last place, and you will win that box.
That would be awesome.
That would look rigged.
Well, that would, unfortunately.
I'm just saying, you may win that box.
Yes.
Maybe.
But I will be in last place. Wait, that's not fair. I don't want to be in last place.
Well,
that's the whole point of doing a pre-release as opposed to any other tournaments, is because at least that semi-levels the playing field. I could just luck out and get better cards than the skilled ones like Fallon that know what they're doing, and I
could
just win.
You could actually like just get really expensive cards,
right,
and still fail out like totally.
Oh, well, I know.
Totally poop, but it's worth it because you do well,
right?
You know, so
if I can squeak my way into the middle of the pack, I'd kind of be happy with that. If I could just
that's
could
usually where
halfway.
I end up, like around the cusp of top half or not.
It would just be nice to win a best of three round sometime. Because I always, my friends and the people I play with, they always have their win con decks that are like stupid awesome. That you know, have, it's like, oh, you know, if I get this character out, I can't win or lose. You know, it's like, well.
Right.
And then so I win one, I always win like the first one, and then the last two, I just like, I get mana screwed, or, you know, they get their strategy out, and I'm just trying to build some monsters, and it's like, yeah, okay, you win.
It's because they're net deckers and they suck. No, it's cool. I don't mind when people net deck. I hate when people only net deck.
I don't even know what net deck
is. Net deck is like, oh, I'm going to look at the top eight decks, and I'm going to build that exact build. And
oh,
like,
that. Yeah,
even though
bold.
I don't know how to pilot that, I'm going to do it anyway, and it's not my
wins.
Idea because it apparently wins.
Yeah, that blows. Yeah.
So it's
see,
like,
that's why I like to just play against normal people because it's like my decks are just built of fun. Because like, there's some I've got to the point where I have themes, but they're not like the big themes. Like I have an elf deck that has ramp, but it's not designed
super,
to be super elf. Yeah. It's like I have other
you're
pieces
not playing
that
elf
I did
ball,
it.
You're just playing elves.
Right. Or like I have a dragon deck, but it's not tailored to be the perfect dragon deck.
Right.
It's just whatever I had. You know,
like I'm playing modern tonight and I'm gonna be playing my goblin deck. I tweaked it a little bit over the weekend. I think the tweaks are good.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how it goes, but I'll play goblins tonight because I haven't played goblins in a really long time and nobody here is playing goblins. So I'll probably get my butt kicked anyway,
right,
but it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. So
well, like I was telling you earlier that, you know, I built a sliver deck, which slivers suck because of the way everyone affects every other one and it's awesome, but it sucks to go up against. But even mine is like, because I have so many colors in it, all of my lands are dual or triple colors, so it takes, and they come in tapped. So, and for those of you that don't know Magic, just ignore what I'm saying. But it's, you know, it takes a long time to pretend I'm talking about comics. So, but you know, it takes a long time to get going. So, if I'm up against someone that has a faster deck, I'm going to lose. But the last few times I've played with it, I've been pleased with how it's been getting the right creatures out and doing stuff. So, I'm learning a little bit.
Right.
And you can too if you come on to the Mills
or any of the other stores. They're casual nights.
Right, exactly.
Casual nights are the better time to learn.
Oh, absolutely. Which is Wednesday for us.
Cranberry's Monday. Butler's Tuesday. Us or Mills and C3 are Wednesday. And Elwood is trying to figure out that day.
Okay.
Elwood's actually going to like make a valiant effort to actually start doing like events again.
Awesome.
So it's just going to be a couple weeks till we figure out a plan, but we plan on doing some stuff, which is kind of cool for Elwood. So I also want to plug Ladies Night because they're here and they're awesome. And I've read both books that they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
One was A-Force, which we talked about on here.
Right.
The other one is Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps.
Yeah.
And it's super good.
Is it?
Like if you like Kelly Sue DeConnick's stuff on Captain Marvel and you just like Carol Danvers, it's just a fun read. It's not as crazy Secret Wars-y as everything else.
Okay.
But it's really good. Like, really, really good.
And, you know, just for the ladies that happen to be listening, Ladies' Night is always a success. You know, almost always have, like, at least 10 to 12 people showing up. They just celebrated their 1 year anniversary, had like pizza and cake, you know, and we've already talked about the awesome Skype that you set up with Kelly DeSudaconic.
Yeah, that was great.
You know, and they got
and
custom,
Matt showed up,
you know,
and then I was like, cool.
Yeah, it's not like that's going to happen every week, but I mean, it's just a good time and they always have a lot of fun talking.
There's new faces. I'm looking over there and I'm seeing new faces.
I keep trying to tell every time I see a girl buying comics or woman, excuse me, but you know, I say, hey, do you know about Ladies Night? And they always get kind of interested, like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. As I've been in the other stores, there's actually a little bit of interest floating around in those stores too to try to do that. We're just going to try to find people to set that up. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in wanting to set up a ladies comic night in one of our other NDC locations, it's not in the Mills, stop by and talk to the store manager. I'm sure that they would totally tell them John sent you.
Mm-hmm.
John.
That won't really affect anything, but
GM
just tell them.
GM John sent you, and they need you to set up a ladies night. It's going to be good times. So. All right, that's about all I got.
Yeah.
So, cool. All right, catch you later, guys.
Thanks for listening.